Blog Talk Radio.
You are about to be entertained by the ape, the young man who has become a legend in his own time.
I'm like, I never heard of this group.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
It's the Ron Kelly Show.
So don't get it twisted.
Oh, what's going on, everybody? Welcome back from the turkey day. You know what time it is. It's the Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com, theronkellyshow.com. Welcome, Mark Gates, RG Turner, Chris White, I should say it. I'm all geared up. I'm ready to go. I'll be jetting out of here, going down to the spot to watch the Cowboys hopefully get a victory over the 10-1 New Orleans Saints, everybody. And in any case, welcome, everybody. It's the Ron Kelly Show. And it's on blogtalkradio.com, theronkellyshow.com. Glad to have you all here. Boy, back from Thanksgiving. You know, the funny thing about Thanksgiving is, like, just when you get kind of relaxed from Thanksgiving, boom, here comes Christmas. So, you know, what are you going to do? Anyway, it's the Toys R Us time of year. But you can't go to Toys R Us because they went out of business. Anyway, it's a couple minutes past the hour. It's the Ron Kelly Show. Y'all know what time it is. Every Thursday evening, 7 p.m., me and you and the rest of the world. It's the back end, better than ever. It's the Ron Kelly Show. Oh, man. Lots going on. I was talking to a friend of mine before I went on the air, shortly before I went on the air. And we were talking about some of the things that are going on in the world today. And it's almost biblical. Now, those of you who have read the Bible and Revelations or whatever the case may be, you know, there's a lot of things going on in this world that's just absolutely biblical. If you pay attention, if you watch very closely, you can see that there's a lot of things going on. It's kind of scary, you know, but don't worry about that right now. But we'll talk about a few things. Incidentally, you just can't, there's no Second Amendment for us black folk. Let me start with this. There's no Second Amendment for us. There's no Second Amendment for us. Whether you are armed legally or illegally, you know, the chances are that you're going to be killed by the police. And I get a lot of pushback for talking about these things. I get a lot of pushback because people say I'm a racist, or all I talk about is black and white and something. It was so totally untrue. But, you know, these things have to be talked about. They need to be talked about. And this young brother, EJ, Emancic Fitzgerald Bradford Jr., 21-year-old black man, he heard gunfire at Alabama's River Chase Galleria Mall on Thanksgiving night, and he tried to run. When police arrived on the scene, they shot and killed Bradford, issuing a now-retracted statement, incorrectly identifying the young man as gunman. Now, here's the problem. The first thing they did was they saw a black man with a gun. And I've had that in one of my promos about how a black man with a gun is considered a criminal. And this young man, 21 years old, was gunned down by the police. Now, here's what they say. Here's what the police say. They say we can say with certainty Mr. Bradford brandished a gun during the seconds following the gunshots, which instantly heightened a sense of threat to approaching police officers responding to the chaotic scene. So, you know, so seeing a black man with a gun contributed to the heightened sense of threat by these police officers, Hoover Police Department. And see, and this is just last week, we had another young brother, Jamel Roberson, who was a security guard who happened to be black and who stopped the bar shootout, only to be killed by the police. And like I said, I get a lot of pushback from this stuff. Shout out to Anita Walker. I get a lot of pushback because I talk about these things. I talk about how young black men who are licensed security guards and licensed carry firearms being murdered by the police. Because you can keep going back. You can go back to Philando Castile. who was killed by a Minnesota police officer after he told the police officer he was carrying an illegal firearm. He was killed while reaching for his wallet. In Chicago, Harith Augustus, a black barber working in South Chicago's South Shore neighborhood, was shot by Chicago police after an officer stopped the man and questioned him for exhibiting characteristics of an armed person. Video showed Augustus attempting to show an officer what appeared to be an Illinois firearms ID before being startled by an officer attempting to grab him from behind. The brother John Crawford, who was walking around Walmart with an air rifle, who was killed by police. And Jameer Rice, a 12-year-old who was shot holding a pellet gun. And it was plain to see that as soon as the police officers rode up on this young boy, they killed him instantly. But I'm not supposed to talk about these things. You know, Ron, you shout out to Bunny McKnight. Ron, you talk too much about race on your radio show. You shouldn't be talking about race. Well, you know, the whole world is about race. You know, I'm going to talk about these things. I have some other things I want to talk about tonight I'm going to get to. But everything is about race. But people are always telling me, like when I go certain places, oh, Ron, you always talk about race. You're a race baiter. People on Facebook call me a race baiter. You know, but I'm going to talk about these things. They need to be talked about. This young man, EJ, was killed. He was a licensed gun over. So what that tells me is just, well, thank God the East Coast has been the East Coast has been pretty free of New Jersey in particular. I haven't really heard anything about New Jersey folks being killed by the police. But see, in New Jersey, you can't carry a firearm anyway. You can't even pump your own gas in New Jersey. That's how horrible this thing. But, you know, this is something that has to be talked about. There needs to have something needs to be done about this. I have a gun, and I certainly don't want to get gunned down by the police while I'm minding my own business. You see what I'm saying? So this is something that we have to talk about. This is something that needs to be addressed. Now, there is a picture of folks marching in solidarity for this young brother, EJ Bradford Jr., 21-year-old. Black man. And see, a lot of us don't even know about this stuff because we're so busy on Facebook posting our vacations and all. So a lot of us don't even know about this. Shout out to Tuffy Ali. A lot of us don't even know about these killings of black folk, licensed gun owners, which I am one. And I certainly don't want to get killed by the police. And this is something that needs to be addressed. See, there's a, let me segue to this. There's a town in New Jersey, Palisades Park. I was there the other day. And Palisades Park was the whitest town on the face of the earth at one point, at one time. But then the Korean population started to move in. And see, when the Koreans moved in, they opened businesses. And they did business with each other. And so their businesses grew and their businesses lasted because they did business with each other. And so just the last election, a Korean won the mayor's race, beat out the white man, the Korean. Two Koreans were elected to the council. It's not about Koreans. It's not about the Koreans per se. It's about what some people are able to do when they come together and commerce together and share together and work together. They can take over some of these towns. Not necessarily take over, because everybody is still going to get served. See, but if you want to get to the front of the line, then you know you need to win an election. And see, those folks won that election because they got together, because they came together. They came together. They worked together. They did commerce with each other. The businesses grew. Their population grew to the point where they were able to get one of their own elected. And it was not so much that it's about a Korean or whatever, but they were able to get one of their own elected because they came together and they did what they needed to do. So they were able to get one of their own elected. You see, when you come into the black neighborhood, you know, and I catch a lot of pushback when I talk about the black experience in America and some of the things that we can do to help ourselves. I get a lot of pushback from that, but we need to come together. We need to come together. We need to get it together. We need to start working with each other, because it's not about whether, because I don't like you, I'm not working with you. That's us. I don't like you. No, you don't agree with me. I was in the barbershop the other day, was a woman was in there who sells oils, and she was telling me I need to read more. I mean, what are you talking about? I need to read more. Well, maybe you need to read more. But that happens with us. It happens with us. So congratulations to the Koreans who took over that town, and now they're in charge of the town. They're in control of that town. So congratulations to them. Congratulations to those Koreans. See, black people should be doing the same thing. White people do it all the time. You know, we can be doing that too. We can solve our own problems. We don't need to beg for other people to do it for us. Anyway, it's a few minutes past the hour of a. It's 14 minutes past the hour, 7 o'clock. You're watching, listening to The Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com, theronkellyshow.com. Shout out to Sharon Ellen Chambers, my sister from back in the day, back in the neighborhood. You know, and this thing, because I try to, you know, I appreciate Sharon and a handful of folks I knew when I was a very young man. You know, but I find myself, you're reaching too hard, you know. Because a lot of people just don't care about the past like I do. I care about the past. I care about my past. But a lot of people don't care. They don't care who they hung out with. They don't care who they, you know, they just don't care. So, you know, maybe I need to stop trying so hard to connect with people. Shout out to Sharon Allen Chambers. Trying so hard to connect with people. Anyway, you see I'm all Dallas cowboyed up because I will be heading over to the spot right after the show to show my support for the Dallas Cowboys, who are playing the New Orleans Saints tonight. The 10-1 Drew Brees led New Orleans Saints. And do they have a chance? Well, they have a chance. They're home, that helps, you know. But we'll see. We'll see. And shout out to Wanda Woody Wilson, who wants to know, says she's confused. Wanda Woody Wilson says she's confused about me. Because I kicked the Cowboys back in. I mean, yes, I can do. I'm a fan. I can. I'm allowed to do that. And when they mess up and when they do the wrong thing, yes, I do kick their backs in. 100%, I kick their backs in. But I'm still a fan to the end. But anyway. So Trump, you know, and it's still hard. It's still hard for me to say president and Trump in the same sentence. So even though, you know, time has passed, he was elected, and he was, you know, Mr. Trump was elected fair and square. But his people, his followers, he's got a powerful hold on his followers. Much better than Jim Jones. Jim Jones only had 900 people. You know, Donald Trump has 60 million. Shout out to Gil Maestro. I hope I said that right. And Aaron. Shout out to Gil Maestro. So Mr. Trump has much more power than Jim Jones ever did. You know, Jim Jones, a lot of story. What's going on, Gil? Maybe I'll see you tonight. And Jim Jones had, there's a lot of documentaries now because Jim Jones, the anniversary of Jim Jones is the day that they all drank the Kool-Aid. The anniversary came up recently. So there was a lot of shows, documentaries and shockumentaries about Jim Jones, what happened in Jonestown. But Jim Jones has nothing on Donald Trump. Jim Jones has nothing on Donald Trump. Everything Donald Trump does turns to gold. So Michael Cohen, Trump's longtime lawyer, admits that he lied in defense of Mr. Trump. And what does he do? Oh, he's stupid. He's, you know, he's looking for a plea deal. And you know what? And Trump supporters, no big deal. No big deal. He didn't do anything wrong. And, you know, it just boggles my mind that anybody could think that he didn't really do anything wrong. it's unconscionable to think that Trump has not done anything wrong. It just blows my mind. You see, but that's the power of Trump. Yeah, that's the power of Trump. Much better than Jim Jones. Much better. Jim Jones, David Koresh, the Waco incident, had nothing on Donald Trump. Because Donald Trump, people, they don't just disagree with you. They get angry with you. This is what the Republicans and the conservatives do. They get angry with you and start the name calling and all kinds of other stuff when you don't agree with them. So they get violent when violent when you talk about Mr. Trump. They get violent. They get angry. So Trump has much more power than this guy, Jim Jones or David Koresh or any of the legendary cult leaders, the MOVE movement, whatever. But I can only consider them a cult. But yes, we'll take a break. It's 20, it's just about 20 minutes past the hour. We'll take a quick break. We'll come right back with more of this show. It's the Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com. It's the Ron Kelly Show.com.
The Ron Kelly Show. And on the web, theronkellyshow.com.
Stick a doodle shortbread, budgie nut bar. How many cheeks? Snickerdoodle shortbread, budgie nut bar. How many cheeks in the cookie jar? One.
Dad, you're supposed to jump over the rope.
One more time.
The smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Learn more at 1-877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
And we are back. It's the Ron Kelly Show, everybody. It's on blogtalkradio.com. Back and better than ever, it's the Ron Kelly Show. And it's on blogtalkradio.com, theronkellyshow.com. Christmas time is here. Time to get out there and start buying those gifts. And take advantage of the Cyber Monday. And I understand that Black Friday was a $3 billion bonanza for the retail industry, and Cyber Monday was around $5 billion. So you got to give it to Trump that people do have more money than they did before. Anyway, it's 20 minutes past the hour. It's the Ron Kelly Show. And, you know, social media has really... Yeah, well, I talked about this with Dr. Susanna Flores, who's the author of Facebook.
Do I have the book here?
Yes. She's the author of, can you see this? Can you see that? She's the author, it's too much light. She's the author of, okay, maybe you can see it. Like, Dr. Susanna Flores is the author of Facebook, How Facebook Affects Our Emotions, Relationships, and Our Lives. Love Dr. Susanna. Shout out to her, wherever she might be. And this is her book. Definitely, you know, I think that everybody who has ever touched this keyboard should own this book, Facebook. Dr. Susanna Flores, who's a licensed clinical psychologist out of Chicago who lives in Arizona now. Associate professor, adjunct professor, Arizona State University. So she knows what she's talking about. And, you know, and you can walk into any... You know, even at the cigar lounge, or you can walk into any place and, you know, you see people with their faces plastered to the phone. You can go into a restaurant. I've gone into restaurants, and I try to leave my phone in the car because I don't want to annoy my significant other. But you go into the restaurant and you see people in there, and there'll be a couple in there sitting at the table, but they're not talking to each other. They're both looking at their phones. And I find that so... it's a powerful statement how social media has changed our lives forever. Yeah. You see, I probably wouldn't be on social media as much as I do if not for my radio show, because in order to get a radio show at the next level, you have to have a social media presence. So I do have an Instagram account. I just got it back. It's R. Kelly Radio, everybody. R. Kelly Radio, R. Kelly Radio, R. Kelly Radio on Instagram and on Facebook. It's the Ron Kelly Show. On Twitter, it's the Ron Kelly Show. And that's about it. Yeah. Shout out to Michael Bishop. So you go into a restaurant, and more often than not, I see a couple. We're not even talking to each other. they're both into their phones. And it doesn't mean that they're in a bad relationship. It just means that they're so into their phones that they're not even talking to each other. Or maybe they were texting each other while they were sitting 2 feet away from each other. So that's what society has boiled down to, you know. And people just, you know, I'm on social media because of my radio show. I probably wouldn't be on it otherwise. Maybe briefly here and there. But, you know, even people, you know, it's so, you know, where else will we show off at if we can show off on Facebook, you know? I mean, because some people, I'm not going to say anybody's names. I see it all over the place how people will be videotaping their entire, so busy videotaping their vacation that they, you can't enjoy it because you're too busy trying to get the right angle and trying to, you know, you just can't. You can't enjoy your vacation because you're so busy trying to show everybody that you're on vacation. And I just find that kind of comical, you know. I mean, yeah, I put a picture every now and then. I'm at the cigar lounge. I'll shoot a picture up there, you know, just because I have to. Not really because I want to, because I have to. And, you know, it's just so weird how social media has affected our lives. Because even with likes, for example, somebody told me, you only got 5,000 or something likes. I'm like, I mean, do I really subscribe to that? I mean, for business, you know, for the radio show, you have 5,000 people to actually stop what they're doing and like my radio show. That's pretty big. It's more than 5,000. But I've had people, you know, trying to get at me and say, well, you know, Charlotte Sharon Allen Chambers, it says people have become so robotic and disconnected. Absolutely. I'm like, at the time, I did, you know, starting to come into vogue, but they had beepers then, you know. And people still talk to each other back then, 80s, 90s. People talk to each other. Now, forget about it. People are robotic and disconnected. Thank you, Sharon Allen Chambers, for your comment. So, you know, yeah. And people are so busy trying to show. See, because nobody says, my son got a D. You don't see that on Facebook. Or I caught my daughter in the house with some boy. Nobody says that. Nobody says that. I'm sure that these things happen with people. Now, I'm not trying to kick anybody's back, and I'm just making an observation that nobody talks about the bad stuff that happens. Unless somebody dies or something like that, then you might see that on Facebook. But people don't – I'm not going to spend my time trying to show you where I'm at. I'm not going to spend half of my time videotaping. I may shoot a few pictures. I mean, you can look at my history on my Facebook page. And yeah, I've shot a few pictures, no video, but I have shot a picture here or there where I was shooting, playing golf or whatever the place may be, you know. But again, I do it because I have to do it, not because I really want to, because I have to, because as being a radio personality, you know, something I have to do. I mean, there are people who on Facebook, and shout out to Michael Mazak, there are people on Facebook I do want to hook up with. So, I shoot that out there. There's people in my life that I care about that I put on, but mostly for the radio show. So a lot of people don't even know about this young brother, EJ, who got killed in the mall. So, you know, way back to that. So don't even pull, if you have, you're a license, your gun owner, you're black, don't pull your gun out. Just don't even pull it out. Just don't. Don't, because it's highly likely that you might get shot. You know, and I am a licensed gun owner. And I wouldn't dare take my gun out, you know, or pull it out, because I know I'm dead. You know, this is something that needs to be addressed. And like I said, people call me all kinds of names. Oh, you're a race hater, you're a race baiter, you're this, you're that, you're the other. Okay, that's fine. You can say that. But we definitely need to do something about our folks being gunned down, who are minding their own business, who are licensed to have those weapons, but the police see us as a threat. See, that's the thing. See, that's what it boils down to. It's not about they were afraid for their life or they see us as a threat. White police officers see a black man as a threat. So you see with a gun, they just automatically going to assume that you're going to use it on them. It's that. It's racism. There's all kinds of stuff going on here. We can't continue to be killed. And this is what happens. We get picked off, we get killed under the most outrageous, egregious circumstances, and what happens? Nothing. Nobody does anything. And I'm not saying go out and kill a cop or, you know, I'm not saying anything like that. But there should be a nationwide reaction, not just in Cleveland, where Tamir Rice was killed. You know, it shouldn't be just that, just there. It shouldn't be in Alabama where E.J. Bradford was killed. It should be a national response, not just, you know, the folks in the neighborhood coming out and protesting. It should be a national response. That's what we need. That's what we need, a national response. So it's about 1:30 the hour. It's the Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com, the Ron Kelly Show.com. 2019 is fast approaching. It's only 2018 went. It went by so quickly. Well, anyways, 2019 is coming up. And there's going to be lots of people joining gyms. And I go to the gym, so I really hate January, because that's when the gym swells, the gym membership swells, because there's a lot of people who make resolutions, New Year's resolutions. They want to lose weight. So they start on the 1st of January. You see, nothing you set a date for ever works. You know, it has to be spontaneous. I know, especially that's been my experience. Yeah, whatever I decide to stop doing, cigarette smoking, whatever the case may be, which I did stop cigarettes 18 years ago, it just happened. I didn't plan it. It just happened. And a lot of our folks will be out there going to the gym, you know, and I just always hate January because it's so packed. The machines are taken. You can't, there's no room in the place. You can't do nothing until late February. I mean, till early February, middle February. That's when it kind of thins out a little bit for go back to eating and whatever else they were doing. So that's how that works out. It's 31 minutes past the hour. And so Trump's lawyer comes out today, Mr. Cohen. He says he lied for Donald Trump. Now, now this is no newsflash, because we all know that Trump lies. We know this. You know, but it's not so, it's the people who are protect the president are the ones that scare me. I talked about it a little bit earlier. The Jim Jones folks, the ones that have totally drank the Kool-Aid and they think Trump is the greatest thing since sliced bread. Plenty of them. They're out there. And I hear them. I listen to talk radio during the day. Yeah, I listen to other people. I don't, you know. I mean, the people who have made it, of course I'm going to listen to them, because I haven't really actually made it yet, although I do have a radio show, but you know, I want a contract. You work 3 hours a day and go home and get paid lots of money. But, yeah, there's a lot of people out there who still embrace this man. He was down in Mississippi the other day. Brother Mike Espy. Now, nobody actually thought he was going to win. But, you know, they had this lady, Cindy Hyde White, I believe that was her name, running for Senate, and she won. She was a woman who took pictures in Confederate clothing and joked about lynching and stuff like that. You see, I really didn't expect Mike Espy to win. And, of course, he lost. You know, see, the South is still very racist. Alabama, Florida, you know, even north parts of North and South Carolina, still very, very racist. So the South is going to be hard to penetrate. I mean, we had Stacey Adams fought a valiant fight, lost, trying to be the governor of Georgia. And then you had the brother who tried to become the try to become the governor of Florida. He lost. But they put up good fights. But the South is still very segregated. The South is still very racist. And people down there have to understand that. You see, we can't continue to We can't continue to allow these things to happen. Black folks getting shot, legal guns, and some of the other things that happen to black folks. We can't allow this stuff to keep happening. Something has to be done about it. We can't just keep putting pictures on Facebook and posting our anger and not do anything. I'm not saying not do anything, but you understand what I'm saying. So so I am like ready and I'm ready to go. It's 20 minutes before the hour of 8 o'clock, and this is what we do. This is my thing every Thursday evening at 7 p.m. It's the Ron Kelly Show. And it's on blogtalkradio.com, theronkellyshow.com. This is another book that I haven't quite finished this book, but I'm sure some of y'all are familiar with Breaking the Curse of Willie Lynch by the brother Alvin Marwell. I'm going to get him on the show. I'm going to reach out to him to try to get him on the show. And also Milton Alamadi from Black Star News, who I've made some attempts to get in touch with. Haven't been successful yet, but I will try to get with his brother. So Pedro Rodriguez was supposed to call the show. You know what? I don't even know if he did or not. No, I don't see him there. Pedro Rodriguez was supposed to call the show. And let me see. If I can... Yeah, I just reached out to him to see what he's going to do. He was supposed to call the show. He's supposed to be a guest on the radio show. I guess he chickened out or something happened. But anyway, we'll see if he makes it to the show. Thank you. Shout out to Bunny McKnight. Greatest show on the net. Thank you, brother. I appreciate that. Yeah, shout out to Billy Moss. Billy Moss, my boy. From back in the day, Billy Moss. Buddy McKnight, my man. Shout out to you and everybody else who's... There's a whole host of people here. I can't name everybody because I can't see everybody. And I'm using a hotspot instead of the Wi-Fi. So I'm limited in that area, too. But, yes. All right, so it's just about 20 minutes before the hour. We'll take a break. We'll come right back. We'll wrap this puppy up. And so we can go and watch Dak make history. It's the Ron Kelly Show. Oh, hold on. You can't go just yet. Ron Kelly Show.
Hey, this is Pedro Rodriguez. How are you doing today?
Hey, Pedro, how you doing? Okay, everybody who's listening on, we'll forego that break for now. Everybody who's watching on Facebook Live, this is your former deputy mayor of the great city of Patterson, Pedro Rodriguez, and also first ward candidate. Am I right? Is that right, or am I?
And former commissioner of the Board of Education as well.
Okay. All right. How are you doing, sir?
I'm great. I apologize. I had to travel, and I'm an hour earlier than where you are, and that's why I'm coming a little bit late.
Oh, you're in the central time zone. Okay.
I'm actually in a town that I guess in a state that I guess you love. I'm in Texas right now. So yeah, I know you're a Cowboy fan.
Absolutely. I am a Cowboy fan. Yes. So. We have a new mayor now, and, it seems to me, Pedro, we're having the same problems. What are your thoughts?
So, the problem with the political system in New Jersey, in Patterson, I believe it has to do with who's financing campaigns. That has been my biggest issue all over again, and that's why you see how elected officials get into power and leave power, and nothing really... the regular residents never really receive the benefits that they are supposed to be receiving. In the city of Patterson, for example, we have a mayor who campaigned very hard against tax increases. And when he was a councilman, He was very strong about raising even one penny of tax increase. I remember part of his phrases were, I cannot go to the residents of my ward and tell them that, you know, we're going to balance the budget on their backs again. But yet, within 11 days, which got to be like a record-breaking for a mayor, he proposed a tax increase. Unfortunately, the city council approved another tax increase of the tax increase last week. And we are in this slipping slope of Pattersonians having to face tax increase after tax increase. And you saw a tax lien sales of many Pattersonians who couldn't afford their taxes to be losing their properties. And those big boys that has a lot of money going and buying their properties at pennies on the dollars, buying the tax liens, pennies on the dollar. So elected officials get to office to serve those who finance their campaigns. And unless there's a reform in the way public offices are, campaigns are funded, you're going to see that for a long time.
Well, see, I think that, you know, this tax lien sale is kind of like a joke to me because, you know, the people in Patterson are struggling to pay their own taxes. So what makes anybody think that they're going to have the money to go out and buy a tax lien and then have to take on the responsibility of paying taxes on their property or having a time frame where they have to build on the property by a certain time? I mean, give me a break. I think that, and also, you know, as long as I believe that Patterson, as long as they need that distress cities aid, it's a quick fix. It's a quick fix. Shout out to Lamont Gates, who says that I guess he's saying Andre realized that the city couldn't manage without an increase. And he's asking, are businesses being brought in? I'm sorry, anybody, I'm going to Pedro Rodriguez, former deputy mayor under Torres, I believe, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yes. Okay, former deputy mayor under Torres, former Patterson School Board Commissioner. I'm speaking to everybody here on the Ron Kelly Show. So, yes, one of my listeners, Lamont Gay, says that in response to what we said about taxes, he says that Andre Sayegh, who's mayor now, realized the city couldn't manage without an increase. Listen,
if we were talking about somebody who's new to the system, who doesn't know, who wasn't there, you know, that would be a good excuse. But he was a seasoned councilman who knows budgets in terms that he has been presented with the status of how the city was being there. Is nobody new to Patterson? So that's a little bit of an excuse. And he talks to the topic, too, of politicians just making fake and false promises to the electorate whenever they are running for office. And when it's time for them to deliver, they can't. So that's what's happening in the case of Patterson. And talking about the tax lien sales, that process is really not designed for regular average Pattersonians to even participate. The amount of cash that you need to have on hand to be able to purchase and maintain that tax lien and then to go through the process of foreclosing that property is astronomical. So the system is designed for the poor to stay poor or get poorer and the rich to stay rich or get richer. And that's how the whole political system works, especially now in New Jersey. And that puts me into another topic, which is the legalization of marijuana. Ron, this is going to be a game changer for our city, specifically for the city of Patterson and for New Jersey. And the way it's being presented to the regular citizens, to the voters, is as a social issue solution when it's not. It's nothing more than generating revenues for those who has been milking the system for a long time and not to resolve the social social disparity that we've seen how African Americans and Latinos have been disproportionately affected by incarceration.
Yeah, but hold on, Pedro. Now, there has been movement, you know, in the criminal justice system to decriminalize marijuana possession in New York, for example. Mm-hmm. They stopped arresting people, period. And also there's movement that a lot of the records that people accrued from weed offenses are going to be cleared. So yep. There is some movement now. There is movement where people are going to be cleared of weed charges. You know, in New Jersey, which just is a prison practically, to even consider, first of all, I was floored and shocked that New Jersey would do anything like that. And now to even think they're even considering recreational marijuana use in New Jersey is phenomenal, because this state is so stiff as a dead man. So are you in favor of decriminalizing marijuana and making it legal to use it recreationally?
So no. So I'm in favor of decriminalizing, which talks about the social issue of the criminalization of small portion of marijuana for personal use. I'm in favor of that. What I'm not in favor is for the legalization and promotion of marijuana. So, and I'll tell you, so there's a difference between the two. We should decriminalize. You know, we know the toll that has taken in our communities, that issue, but I'm not in favor of the recreational marijuana to be legalized. And I'll tell you the reason why. It's nothing
decriminalization.
There's a difference between the two.
Between, shout out to Jeff Franklin and shout out to Wanda Woody Wilson, who should not be confused now that I said I can criticize the Cowboys anytime I want. So what's the difference between decriminalization and legalization? I mean, because when you decriminalize, you legalize, don't you, in a sense?
No, it's a totally different thing. So decriminalization is, let me give you an example. When you have a meter over a ride, like you park for an extended number of time in a meter, you didn't do something legal, but you did not commit a crime. So the decriminalization of the marijuana is that if you are found with a small portion, you don't go to jail. You might get a ticket or something like that, but it's not a criminal act. Now, the legalization of marijuana, what it does is not only takes the criminal part apart, but it's going to be promoting the sales of marijuana. It's going to be really involving more youth into the use of marijuana, because you know how the marketing is going to jump in and stuff like that. So we've seen the effect from the states that took the first step into legalizing marijuana. There are other states, more states actually, like New York, who has decriminalized without legalizing. So these are two different things. So I'm in favor of decriminalizing marijuana, which is going to touch the social portion. But legalizing is going to have a profound effect. In Colorado, for example, the number of homelessness has increased dramatically. The number of mobile vehicle accidents have more than doubled, caused by people high on weed. And the number of black markets, so people selling weed in the black market, has increased. And the number of incarceration for young African Americans and Latinos has also increased due to the same thing. So that's
But those are people, Pedro, those are people who are using weed. The law still says that you can't drive. You still can't do all of that stuff. It's not saying that you can get in the car and drive. It's saying that you can use weed recreationally, but It's still a DUI if you drive a car or if you operate equipment or any other things you're not supposed to do. You're not supposed to, you know, if you're a doctor, you shouldn't be weeded up. I mean, those laws still stand. I mean, we can't say that. See, that's the same thing with New Jersey with the gun laws. You know, New Jersey thinks that people are going to go out and start shooting each other if they're allowed to carry weapons. I've had my gun license for 12 years. I've never shot anybody. It's a complete misnomer. And I think that what you're saying is along those lines, that people are not going to go out and start driving and smoking or blowing a weed in the cop's face or anything like that. That's just not going to happen. Those people who are, I don't know, I can't say that those accidents are attributable to weed, because people know that you still can't drive and smoke weed. They still know that.
But this is not something that I'm just saying or I think is going to happen. I'm taking the example of Colorado, who already for the 6 years, they legalized marijuana. So, and I'm expecting the same thing to happen in New Jersey. Of course, those laws stay the same. So the main reason why in New Jersey the marijuana is being legalized is nothing other than a revenue issue. So the government, Governor Christie and the political power there in Trenton, have seen an opportunity to tax and to make a lot of money, billions of dollars, of a new commodity, which is marijuana now. So the proposal is going to come with at least a 12% tax and an additional 2% tax to the city where that is being sold. And they're going to bring a lot of money into the government.
Well, see, I think that, you know, I just checked that in the state of Colorado, an increase of weed accidents from people mm-hmm. who shout out to Lakeisha Mims. There's an increase of people who are smoking, but there's an increase of old people driving cars too. I mean, in New Jersey, is it? You got people that are 84. I was just posting about a man who was 84 years old driving the wrong way on a highway, ran smacking head on into somebody, killed himself, injured 6 other people. Just in New York, just earlier this week, a man 70-something years old stepped on the gas instead of the brake. The car went up on the sidewalk in reverse and killed one person and injured 6 or 7 people. So we also have, we have the old people killing everybody. We have the weed heads killing everybody. But what they're saying is that people are leaving parties up like this. And what you're saying, there may be some truth to that, but people have to understand that the law is still the same for operating a vehicle. And maybe that's not being imparted on these folks. Maybe they're not being told that you still have to obey the laws in regards to driving.
Yeah, no, and the law is the same, but people are more propensed to use it. Listen, it's legal, and what I'm bringing up is that the stats are there. So in New Jersey, what's going to happen is, I think, and I hope that I'm wrong, but I think that in 5 years, you're going to look at the stats, and then but by the time that you look at the stats, hundreds of people have already been died, or incarcerated, or develop an addiction. So I was in agreement of the decriminalization of marijuana, which will address the social issue, but I'm not in agreement at all with the legalization of it, just for because politicians want to cover some holes and plugging some holes and bringing additional revenues. There's something else too. In the law that New Jersey is trying to get approved, there's an incentive for cities like Patterson and cities like, large cities, more than 100,000 residents, to be the ones who has those dispensaries. So they want the stores that will sell the marijuana products to be in our cities. So white towns, small towns, they don't want to do nothing to do with those stores that will be selling the marijuana products. So it tells you also how they are trying to put our cities into a corner and push them into a corner. There are many towns, actually, in New Jersey who passed a resolution already that they would not accept a dispensary of marijuana in their towns.
Okay, let me, everybody, I'm speaking with former Patterson School Board Commissioner and former Patterson Deputy Mayor under Joey Torres. I'm speaking to Pedro Rodriguez. Speaking of Joey Torres, I heard he's getting out possibly before Christmas. But let me ask you this now. Okay, so shout out to Lamont Gates before we move on. Shout out to Lamont Gates, who says, watch taxes still stay high in New Jersey. Do you think that taxes will still remain high even if there's a windfall from legalized marijuana?
Well, we have found that we have a governor in New Jersey that loves to tax. And I don't know if it has to do with the Democratic Party or what it is, but it's amazing the amount of taxes that we're paying in New Jersey. And that's why many companies are leaving us. And now when we see the $15 minimum wage that hopefully is going to be approved, but you're going to see how many other companies, small shops, will be closing and taxes will continue to increase. The marijuana tax is going to take time to come in because now they got to develop the stores, they got to grow the plants. So it's something that is going to come in the near future. And you should see taxes in New Jersey to continue to go up for the foreseeable future.
Now, let me ask you this. Okay, there's about 5 minutes left of the program. Everybody, it's from Patterson, Deputy Mayor Pedro Rodriguez, who was also former Patterson School Board Commissioner. All right, so you're the mayor of Patterson, instead of Andre Sayed. Now, we had a couple minutes left, so try to condense it if you can. What would you do to bring revenue into the city of Patterson?
So before bringing revenue into the city, it's going to take time. So before you, before bringing revenue, what he was supposed to do was to cut.
Don't talk like them now. I understand that it takes time, but now what takes time? I mean, what would you do? What would be your 5-point plan, or in the case with a couple of minutes we got left, what would be your plan to bring revenue? I understand it's not going to happen overnight, but what would your plan be?
One of the main plans that I had for Patterson was that the properties, instead of putting it in the hands of the developers who don't care who they rent to put it in the hands of regular Pattersonians, the average Joe, and provide them with the necessary resources so they can fix the properties, create jobs, and occupy the properties. When you put those properties to pay full taxes to come back to the tax roll, you would see an infusion of revenue. But the occupation of those properties had to be done from straight average Joe Pattersonians. That pissed off a couple of developers out there that were supporting, in this case, Andrew and not me. But that it was going to be a game changer, that instead of having a tax lien, the city would take on the process of foreclosing those properties and put it in the hands of regular Pattersonians and not to the developers that usually end up with the big with the fat meat to make even more money. I had a plan to really cut costs. That's the only thing that immediately could have been done, by right-sizing every department and that's analyzing every department and seeing where we could be more efficient. That way we could invest less money or it could cost us less. Yeah.
I understand that. I don't mean to cut you off, but there's about 2.5 minutes left of the program now. But it would be pretty hard to cut $40 million off the Let's say the state only gives $25 million, so that means you would have to cut $15 million from the Patterson budget. It would be very hard to do that, don't you think?
Well, I never said that it was easy. If it was easy, it would have been done a long time ago. But tough decisions have to be made. You know, what you have seen in this administration is that new people have come in, increases have gone up, and there's no way that you can reduce taxes, providing increases to your employees by bringing new employees that they were doing the same job that other people were doing. Let me give you one. He had a good friend, Javier Fernandez, that he's in community service right there to the mayor. You had before Mr. McCoy that was doing the same job. Now the new employee is making $15,000 more than the previous guy. That's not a way that you can reduce taxes by increasing salaries to your friends. Impossible.
So what you're saying is return. And we'll talk about this again on another edition of this program. There's about a minute and a half left to the show. So you're saying that they get the outsiders out of Patterson. You believe it's the outsiders and the outliers and the big time developers who are driving Patterson into this perpetual black hole of not being able to carry itself from fiscal year to fiscal year.
Exactly. So basically, to tell you my answer in 10 seconds is, people believe that the best asset that Patterson has is the Great Falls. It's not. The best asset that Patterson has is its people. So unless we invest in our people, we will never get out of this hole. We're going to keep digging deeper and deeper and deeper. And that's unfortunately what we are seeing under this administration.
All right, thank you. All right, about 25 seconds left to the program. All right, thank you, Pedro Rodriguez.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, former Patterson Deputy Mayor and former Patterson School Board. Thank you. All right, we're going to break out of here, everybody. Thank you so much for joining me today on this edition of the Ron Kelly Show. Hopefully, I'll be smiling next Thursday if the Cowboys win. If not, as always, next week. Till then, take care. Mm-hmm.